Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for being here to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Apologize for getting into the pulpit late. Session Council was meeting with me and three prospective new members in my office, and it always seems to run us just a little bit late. We have such a good time talking to everyone and getting to meet and know one another. There's some announcements in your bulletin. You can go over most of those yourself. Just remind you there's a crying room with a speaker for a child or someone who gets the coughing and needs to slip out. And hopefully that is plugged in. Deacons will meet today after worship. Deacons are having Deacon Fellowship Lemonade and Cookie Sunday, July the 7th. We'll meet outside in front of the church, so that should be an exciting time. Hope you can come out for that and maybe invite a guest. And Vacation Bible School, July the 15th through 19th, 6:30 to 8:30. You can approach Kathy Segi or B.J. Morrison, and they say they're in desperate need of some helpers this year. And the food bank needs peanut butter and jelly, school lunchbox snacks. I don't know what TY means. Oh. I don't know all these acronyms, you know, things that people look on the computer. What are they talking about? I have no idea. Okay, make sure I'm getting all this. Okay. Some donation tax exempt forms on the back if you're going to help get some things from the vendors for the fellowship. Pig roast September the 15th. We're going to be having a special event. We're going to hopefully get banners and really promote Back to Church Sunday. It's a national Back to Church Sunday day, and then try to have a big event that day in conjunction with the pig roast. Hope you'll invite guests and invite some of the people we haven't seen in a while that are part of our church, and just make it a big fellowship and a real fun day. So be thinking about that for September the 15th, and I hope to have a Bible study tied in with that, maybe on attending church or maybe a totally different subject, but it'd be a Bible study, a small group, maybe at my home or somewhere, according to how many people sign up. Then this was left on my up here. A special replenishment blood drive has been scheduled in honor of 11-year-old Hunter Grace Downey. He was recently diagnosed with acute lymphomic blastic, leukemia. She's receiving aggressive treatments of chemotherapy and blood transfusions at Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. The blood drive will be Sunday, July the 7th from 9 to 2 at Shaler Northfield's Library. You can see this. We'll put it up at the back of the church if you want to know more about it. Thank you. Make sure I've got everything. Be sure to pass your red pad down, sign it with your attendance. If anything's changed, give me that information. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise for this morning to go along with our July the 4th celebration, My Country Tis of Thee, 571. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for calling us.
To be dedicated followers. Give us a determination
Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Once again, join together as part of the community of faith worldwide as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe take a moment, greet one another. If you're not familiar with someone's name, be sure to ask them. Get to know them. We cannot really be a church without doing missions. That's what we're called to be about. Missions. The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him.
For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Time I call the elder on the door to present the prayer requests.
We have several requests this morning. The first one is a prayer request from Michelle Teggy for her father, Chuck Zagorski. He's having shoulder surgery tomorrow. For John Croyle, who is getting a new knee on July 11th, and we pray that everything goes well for him. From Suzanne Connors, a prayer for Jack Smith. This is Suzanne's father. He's got a broken back and he's in severe pain and he needs a new shoulder, but they can't do it. He lives in Florida and he has dementia, which is leading to Alzheimer's. A prayer from Suzanne for Andrea Miller. This is AJ's daughter. She's got an infection and she's got some stomach problems and is currently in Allegheny General Hospital. And there's a couple here from Patty Gamrod, one for Hilda Thompson. She's currently back at St. Barnabas, and she needs prayers for healing and strength. And another one from Patty for Katrina and Elizabeth Krebs. This is her daughter and granddaughter. There are visitation issues with Elizabeth's father, and Katrina isn't being treated fairly, and their goal is to take Elizabeth. Elizabeth currently has a urinary tract infection and is on antibiotics. We have a couple praise requests. This one from Patty Gamrod for Jody, Brian, Aiden and Landon French, that's her daughter, son-in-law, and grandsons. They were able to purchase a house next door to Patty's, and the yards meet. It will be about a year for them to get it all ready, but prayers for Brian, who will be doing most of the work. From Mike Love, he's asking for praise for his wife, Lynn. Thanks to the Lord for bringing Lynn into his life. In case you hadn't noticed, they're wearing matching shirts today from their wedding of last year. Today is their first year anniversary. This praise request is from Lynn, and this is for her husband, Mike. This is... 1 year ago today, I married my best friend. He has made me the happiest girl in the world. Thanks to God for reuniting us after approximately 30 years after they've met. And the last praise request is from Kathy Segi to God for a negative MRI. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and of course I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer, saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, humbling ourselves before your mighty hand, praising you, giving you thanks, bringing prayers of petition to you. Because you're the creator of the universe, of all life, of everything that is, has been, will be, could be. Our lives are ultimately in your hands. And we are grateful for that. You know us better than we even know ourselves. And you have called us into a relationship with you. Help us to accept that relationship in its fullness. Help us to learn to be true followers and not just fans, to dedicate our lives to you, to be in this world but not totally of this world. That's not always easy to do, and we need your guidance, your assurance. We need the power of your Holy Spirit working through our lives. So this day we lift up all these persons mentioned and in our valley and our bulletin. We thank you for touching their lives. We thank you for what this July the 4th weekend means for us. Freedom. A freedom that so many people in this world still do not even have an inkling of what it means. They do not understand freedom. Freedom to come and go. Freedom to choose their own destiny. Freedom to worship. Help America to remain free. As some of our freedoms are eroded, maybe that's just a part of the way life is. But we need our freedoms to be independent and yet come together in community, because that is what we desire to do as a nation. And help us to do that as a church also, to bond and be a loving, kind, helpful, generous family to one another. lifting one another up in prayer, speaking words of edification, helping each other when we can and have that ability. Thank you for loving us. Help us to love you and help us to love one another. And thank you for all your wonderful examples. And thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Very quickly, for the prayers, I forgot to mention this, but Isabel Mellinger is out of St. Margaret's and now is in St. Barnabas, and William Reese is not at home. He's in Presbyterian Hospital, so let's keep them in our special prayers also. And our hymn of preparation, number 376, and in our hymnals, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
I have decided.
Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sunshine today, but most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who shines his light into our hearts and calls us into relationship with him, that we can have salvation and eternal life, and even find the abundant life here upon this earth, and then spend all of eternity with you and the saints and all family and friends that have already gone and will come after us. We thank you for that. So we seek to serve you, to follow you to the best of our ability. Lord, help us to do that through the power of your Holy Spirit. And as Pastor Glenshaw Valley, I thank you for everyone that gives. And sometimes we think just of giving money, but that's only a portion of giving. Giving our love and our kindness and our mercy, giving of our time and everything that we do to help your kingdom and to help Glenshaw Valley to grow, to prosper, to meet the needs of this congregation, but also the people outside who need help, who need to find you. Help us, Lord, to reach them. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen. Thank you. Michelle Teggy is going to read the scripture today. We had several people volunteer, which I was real happy about, but she got to me first. Nope, too late now. First come, first serve here.
This looks scary. Good morning. The reading today is from Luke 9, 51 through 62. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent his messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God."
Thank you, Michelle. Nice to have a female reading the scriptures. Nice change. Lady was taking her time browsing, as many of you ladies and men do, at a yard sale. In a conversation with the homeowner, she said, "My husband is going to be very angry that I stopped at this yard sale today." And the homeowner said, "I'm sure he'll understand when you tell him all the great bargains that you've got today. You know, something that costs $25 you got for a nickel." She said, "Well, yeah, normally he would be pretty happy about that, but he just broke his leg and he's waiting out in the car so I can take him to the emergency room." I know some of you, and that's just about what you would have done. Some things in life should not be delayed, but we do delay them, not for any sinister reasons or to hurt anybody, but because we don't attach any real urgency to them. I found this story, and I couldn't help but think about myself. Reverend Gene Sinek calls it the butt first syndrome, B-U-T. The American Medical Association hasn't recognized this, but I think maybe they should as a disease yet. But that doesn't mean that many people are not suffering from it. And here are some of the symptoms he says that he has in his own life from this. He said, Saturday and I decided to do the laundry. I sat down with intentions of doing just that, and I noticed the newspaper on the table. So I'll do the laundry, but first, I'm going to read the newspaper. After that, I notice some mail on the table. I'll stick the newspaper in the recycle bin, but first, I'll look through the mail to see if there's any unpaid bills. As I leaf through the mail, I notice the empty glass on the coffee table from yesterday. I'm now going to look for the checkbook to take care of those unpaid bills, but first, I need to put that empty glass in the sink. I head for the kitchen with the glass, but then I notice through the window that our poor flowers need some water. I put the glass in the sink and see that the TV remote and the cell phone are both laying on the countertop. I don't know how they got there, but I do need to put them away. But first, I need to water those plants. I think you get the idea, and I think a lot of us go through this. By the way, he says that he managed to get some of the laundry done. The newspaper is still on the floor by the table. The glass is now in the sink. However, the bills never got paid, the checkbook was never found, and the dog ate the remote control. A lot of things he meant to do, but he got sidetracked by the butt first syndrome. As Jesus was walking down the road, he encountered three men. The first said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And we've all probably felt like that at some time or another. And especially in our Christian experience. We've had a mountaintop experience, maybe. Maybe some of us were in a Billy Graham crusade, or we were at a youth conference, or some other inspiring situation, and we told Christ, "I'll follow you, and I'll go anywhere that you want me to go." And we said it from our heart, and we felt like we meant it. "I'll go wherever you want. I'm yours. Do with me as you will." But time has gone by, and the truth of the matter is that we've lived pretty ordinary lives since then. There have been plenty of instances where we could have served Christ much better than we have, but somehow or another, other things have gotten in our way. In some situations, we might say, "Yes, Lord, I'm yours," but Christ knows that we're just caught up in an emotional moment. This was obviously the way it was with the first man who said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Notice Jesus' response to him. "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus seems to be saying to him in a gentle way, "You don't really know what you're saying." Following Jesus is not for the faint of heart. It's not for people who are concerned about material possessions or comforts, or at least overly concerned about it. It's for people who are ready to put it all on the line. It's not for people who get excited on one occasion, who respond for an hour or so to a nice, warm, spiritual feeling, and then it's gone. It's for people who are ready to be Christ's man, Christ's woman, or boy, or girl. Regardless of the current circumstances, whether things are going good or going bad in their life, or how they happen to feel at the moment. Notice Jesus' encounter with the second man. Jesus says to him, "Follow me." The man replies, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Here's a man suffering from the butt first syndrome. We might wonder what the man's doing talking to Jesus after his father had just died. Why is he not home taking care of business? In the first century, Jews buried the dead almost immediately, usually the very same day. There weren't any well-equipped mortuaries to handle the needs back then. Things were totally different, and he obviously needed to be back home. And why does Jesus give him such a hard time? It doesn't sound what we think about Jesus. The man makes a perfectly normal request, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." I think any of us would want to do that. I would. And Jesus' answer is a little harsh. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. What's this really all about? Commentators differ over whether the father had just died or whether he was near death or whether he had maybe several years still to live. Samuel Morgan refers to a traveler in the Middle East who was trying to enlist a young Arab man as his guide to take him around. The young Arab man replied that he could not go because he had to go bury his father. When the traveler expressed his sympathy to the Arab man, he learned that the young man's father had not actually died. But this was just an expression, meaning that his father was getting up in years and he felt a responsibility for him. Some of you can identify with that. Your parents are aging and you feel responsible for them. As long as my mom and dad depend on me, this man is saying, I better stay home. The third man makes a request that is just as reasonable. I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Hey, these are really nice guys. I don't see anything wrong with this. And they want to follow Jesus, but they have responsibilities. And so they say to him, yes, but first. And Jesus is just as short with this third man as he is with the others. Jesus says to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Obviously, Jesus regarded the statement of the first man that he would follow him anywhere as superficial, and replies the second to as just mere excuses. He didn't need any more half-hearted disciples. He wanted people who were ready to make a commitment. Jesus wasn't looking for fans, he was looking for followers. Fans are easy to come by. Show the world that you are a winner, as the world defines a winner, and the world will follow you and give you adulation. Of course, some of these folks can be very fickle. I went to college in Houston, Texas. The Houston Astros was at the Dome a time or two. So it's kind of like when the Pirates sometimes. One year when the Astros were not enjoying their best season, which was quite often, the fans got a bit frustrated. We're told that a woman left her two-season tickets up on the dashboard of her car, locked the car, and went into the store. When she came out of the store, she found that a car had been broken into. And she looked up on the dashboard thinking that her two Astro tickets would be stolen, season tickets. Instead, there were two extra season tickets. There were now four season tickets. The Astros aren't the only one with fickle fans. We're told that a sports fan in Cleveland, Ohio, was strolling along a beach in Cleveland area and spotted a bottle floating in Lake Erie. He fished out the bottle from the lake and opened it, and immediately a genie popped out of the bottle. Master, the genie said, you have released me from my bondage in the bottle. Ask any three wishes, and I will grant them to you this very day. The man thought for a moment, and he said, I would like the following three things to happen this year. I'd like the Cleveland Browns to win the Super Bowl, the Cleveland Indians to win the World Series, and the Cleveland Cavaliers to win the NBA title all this year. And the genie started crying. Said, I knew one day someone would ask for the impossible and jump back into the bottle. It's not going to happen. It's hard to be a sports fan. Jesus doesn't really want fans. Fans are with you when you win. Maybe even when you tie, but when you're not doing well or you're losing, they're not there. Go to a sporting event. and go up maybe to the restroom area, to the beer stand, the concession stand, and listen to the fans just belly aching that the team's not 20 points ahead. Listen to them complain. Jesus wants people who will walk in his footsteps regardless of their circumstances on a daily basis. Jesus wants people who will be with him whether he ascends to a throne or is crucified on a cross. Jesus wants people who mirror his compassion and his love, even when such compassion is unpopular. Bishop William Willimon tells about a baptism ceremony he participated in when he was campus minister at Duke University. A fellow campus minister asked him to participate in a baptism of a graduate student, and the grad student was from China. He had been attracted to the Christian faith while a student there at Duke. Willimon had met the young man once or twice before, and he had joyfully participated in his baptism. He thought it a bright idea to bring the camera along and take some photographs for the baptism, as we often do in our services. He said, "You can send these pictures to your family back in China, and you can share your baptism one day with your friends at home." And he said this, he maneuvered in the place to take the photographs. And he noticed that the group was acting a little reserved and a little shy and awkward, but they all stood together as he took the photographs. And after the baptism, the campus minister, the other one, said to him, "Oh, that was embarrassing, you with your camera and all taking their photographs." And Willimon said, "Embarrassing? Why was that embarrassing? I don't understand." He said, "Well, because now that he's baptized, his colleague, his life has basically been ruined." We never think of it like that. His parents say that they will disinherit him. The government will most likely take away his scholarship. He can't show those pictures to anybody back home. His life as he knew it is over because he has been baptized into Jesus. That young graduate student was making a decision that would cause him much pain. He was making a decision to be more than a fan of Jesus Christ. He was making a decision to be a follower. He was making a decision to walk in Christ's footsteps. When we read the accounts of Jesus' life in the Gospels, we find him give this command on many occasions, "Follow me." He went to those fishermen, Peter, Andrew, and James, and "Follow me, and I will make you fishermen of men." When the rich young ruler asked him what he must do to have eternal life, Jesus answered, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you'll have many treasures in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow." And we read in all three of the Synoptic Gospels his command, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Jesus doesn't need fans, he needs followers. Even people of other religions are often a fan of Jesus Christ. He wants people who will take up the cross daily in service and in love. Christ is not looking for people who will get excited for a few moments on a Sunday morning and then forget all about their good intentions. He's not looking for people who are continually making excuses about why now is not a good time to make a commitment to be a Christian or to be in service. Jesus is looking for followers. People will live their life each day with a determination to live as Christ would have them live. So I just close with this question. How do you really think of yourself? Do you see yourself as a fan of Jesus Christ, or do you see yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ? May God bless you. Amen. It's not listed in the bulletin. We'll take a few minutes, and we have reception of new members. I'm going to call them up and introduce them. They've met with the session, been approved, answered their questions. They've read the materials that I've given, and they met with me two Wednesdays ago for about 2 hours for our new members class. First, I call Adele Miller. And Dale, you can just stand there. I'm going to step here just for a minute while I introduce you so I can work the PowerPoint. She used to work at Horn's Department Store. She's now retired. She lives on Valley Street in Pittsburgh with her husband, her dog Coco, and her dog Gizmo. And loves playing with the dogs, shopping, playing. I didn't know what cornhole was, and bowling. She'll have to explain. You throw these little bags of corn into a thing. I had no idea. It sounds like a lot of fun. We could set that up and play it here. Said she'd be willing to serve as a deacon. Don't jump her, but just put that in the back of your mind. circle some occasional office help, visitation, send cars to shut-ins, and some kitchen duties with the luncheon. And she's coming in by reaffirmation of faith. She's been a member of another church, has been baptized, and I think of her as our resident hugger. If I need a hug, I go to her and get a good hug. And I hope I say their names right. Correct me, please, so we all get it right if I don't pronounce it right, because I'm very good about bad pronunciations. Carl and Ann Fogolani. Come up here and tell us. No, you stay here. How to say it again?
Fogliani.
Okay. I'll still say it wrong next time. Carl is a consultant, does a lot of work from home. Most of his work is still out in California. That's where they came here from. He grew up in Pittsburgh and wanted to come back to a better family environment. And what better place than Pittsburgh to raise a family? Live on Hickory Street. They of course, his wife, Ann. They have two children, Carlton and William. And his hobbies are politics and sports. And he would be interested in joining a hobby group if we had it. He's never held any church offices. He could maybe help sometimes kitchen duties, luncheon, and library. And he grew up Lutheran and is coming in reaffirmation of faith. And tomorrow, July the 1st, they've been in Pittsburgh for 1 year. And they met out in California is where they met. And Ann, she's currently a housewife. She has worked. She's got a good education. Has the same children as he has. She likes reading and sports. She circled kitchen duties with luncheon and occasional gardening, so certainly things that we can use. She was baptized in the Catholic Church, and she's coming in by a reaffirmation of faith. And part of what we do in the new members class, I was telling Session where I've changed it over the years and done a lot of different ways. I've got it where I do it more personal now. A lot of personal, and then we go into the government of the church and some personal things about this church. So we tell our stories, and she has a very interesting story she might can tell us sometimes. Escaped from Vietnam with a family, separated from a father at 5 years old. Kind of lost at sea without water and fuel, adrift. So very inspiring story, and then came and met and fell in love, and now they're here with us and glad to have them. And how long have y'all been married? What's seven? I shouldn't ask. I asked them that the other day. Ask her. I wanted to get him in trouble. Okay. I'm going to slip down beside you here. I like to ask these questions in a public profession. And we don't have to ask the congregation anything. But if you can, you'll answer this as Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
This will be I do. Do you trust in Him?
I do.
That's another I do. Do you intend to be His disciple, to obey His word, and show His love?
I do.
Will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be? I will.
I will. Okay.
That's enough. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life of Glenshaw Valley and bring new life into it. For these three new members today, we ask for your blessings upon their lives and in all areas. Help them in every way, in body, spirit, soul, finances, relationships. We thank you for bringing them to us. Help us to minister to them and them minister back to us. Lord, you've been so good to us here at Glenshaw Valley. Thank you for allowing us to grow in numbers, in spirit, and in truth, in love, and compassion, and mercy, and outreach. Help us to continue to do so, being an inviting and loving church. Bless these three new members, especially this day, this year, and for all of their life. In the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to welcome you into our church. I'm going to get my hug. Good to see you today. Good to see you. Thank you for being here. Y'all be seated, and I'm going to invite them up after the benediction and the song, and you can welcome them back into the church, or into the church. And you'll notice some photographs on the back. Sometimes we get to look, and communicants, I don't know if they've been put up there yet, but we've had now 10 people join the church this year. So just, I think, outstanding. And I keep hearing the same stories, how much they like you, how friendly you are, and what a nice group of people that you are. And I thank you for that, and continue to be. Just keep loving one another. Our closing hymn is God Bless America. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you felt blessed and loved and accepted. And I hope you go back out into the world, giving that love and acceptance to other people. In your personal life, in your work life, in your family life, let people know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean you're a perfect human being. None of us are. We have our ups and downs, and we have our goods, and we have our bads at times. But still, we follow Jesus Christ. And when we do wrong, we ask for forgiveness, and we go on, pointing not to ourselves, but pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.